Sunday, February 5th, 2017. Super Bowl Sunday. Travis Kalanick is squished in the middle seat of an Uber black car between two women. He starts shimmying his shoulders to the radio. He's had a few drinks and he's feeling good. The driver keeps glancing in his rearview mirror at Kalanick.
This is coming up, right?
Yeah, I think it's coming up. There it is. So we can just pull off the side right here.
Right here?
Yeah.
All right, perfect.
Thank you.
You have a good one. Thank you.
As women hop out of the car, the driver turns around in his seat to address Kalanick. He's not about to lose this opportunity.
You're raising the standards and you're dropping the prices.
We're not dropping the price on black.
But in general, the whole price...
Yeah, we have to. We have competitors.
To lure riders away from Lyft, Uber constantly slashes prices, leaving drivers no choice but to log more hours to make up the difference.
I lost $97,000 because of you. I bankrupt because of you. Yes. You keep changing every day.
What have I changed about black?
Huh?
What
you
have
changed?
I changed
the whole business.
What?
You dropped the prices.
On black?
Yes, you did. We started with $20.
Kalanick isn't having it. As usual, he doesn't mince his words.
You started with $20.
The pair starts raising their voices.
You know what?
How much is the mile now? $2.75?
You know what?
What?
Kalanick points his finger at the driver.
Some people don't like to take responsibility for their
responsibility.
They blame everything
but
in their life on somebody else.
But why are you sending an email for town cars?
Good luck.
The driver will have the last word. And that's because the entire encounter has been caught by a dashboard recording. The tape will soon go viral. Kalanick is going to regret this moment for the rest of his life, because soon he'll have to fight for his reputation and his job. Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. In our last episode, Lyft started to make inroads in China with a new alliance, only to have Uber swoop in and steal its partnership with Didi. Now, facing heat from regulators and its own customers, Uber's got 99 problems and Lyft is barely one of them. This is Episode 5, Damage Control. February 19th, 2017. It's a cool Sunday in Palo Alto when Susan Fowler sits down at her kitchen table. She takes a sip of coffee and opens up her laptop. The 20-something is dressed in her day-off loungewear, but she's anything but relaxed. Her mind is racing. It's been 2 months since she quit her job as an engineer at Uber, but she hasn't been able to forget what happened there. She opens up her personal blog and stares at the blank page, then quickly closes her laptop. She's scared. What she has to say is damning for Uber. Fowler's not going up against any old tech company, no. She's about to take on the most valuable startup in Silicon Valley. But she knows it's the right thing to do. Fowler takes a deep breath. She opens up her laptop again and starts typing. Reflecting on one very, very strange year at Uber. On my first official day rotating on the team, my new manager sent me a string of messages over company chat. He was in an open relationship, he said, and his girlfriend was having an easy time finding new partners, but he wasn't. He was trying to stay out of trouble at work, he said, but he couldn't help getting in trouble because he was looking for women to have sex with. It was clear that he was trying to get me to have sex with him, and it was so clearly out of line that I immediately took screenshots of these chat messages and reported him to HR. Fowler takes another sip of coffee and keeps going. Over the next few months, I began to meet more women engineers in the company. As I got to know them and heard their stories, I was surprised that some of them had stories similar to my own. 3,000 words later, she leans back in her chair and rereads what she's written. She's been careful to keep her tone neutral, detached, and to make sure every sentence can be backed up with documentation. She hits publish. Fowler gets up and paces around her kitchen. She tries to tidy up, but she gives up and sits back down and opens up her computer again. Oh my God. Dozens of news outlets have picked up her blog post. Fowler receives request after request for interviews and appearances. The press quickly dubs her a whistleblower. A torrent of reactions is pouring in, including support from Silicon Valley bigwigs. She gets so many messages, her phone crashes. Pretty soon, her voicemail is full. It doesn't take long for Travis Kalanick to see her post either. He tweets a response. What's described here is abhorrent and against everything we believe in. Anyone who behaves this way or thinks this is okay will be fired. Fowler's post causes a tidal wave for Uber. The backlash is immediate. 500,000 people already deleted Uber as part of the hashtag DeleteUber campaign a month ago. Now the hashtag is surging again, with deletions rolling in and overwhelming Uber staffers. The New Yorker magazine dubs the new allegations the making of a perfect storm for the company. Uber has an undeniable sexual harassment problem, and the higher-ups can no longer sweep it under the rug. The company launches an investigation into sexual misconduct led by former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder. Now, hundreds of women who were once afraid to speak up come forward to share their experiences. Late March 2017, San Francisco. John Zimmer and Logan Green are sitting in Lyft's offices. Green cranes his neck forward to peer closer at his screen. He's looking at the figures for the first quarter of the year, and he's having a hard time believing his eyes. John, we're on track to do 70 million rides in the first quarter of 2017. Zimmer turns and looks at Green. Really? That's huge. How does that compare to 2016? Green is already crunching the numbers. It's a 142% increase. Zimmer whistles. People have been switching to Lyft following the hashtag DeleteUber campaign. Uber got public backlash for crossing picket lines at JFK while Lyft scored brownie points with liberals by donating $1 million to the ACLU. More than ever, Lyft has positioned itself as the best route to moral high ground. And while that's not always the most profitable approach, it's helping Lyft expand into 100 new cities, bringing its total count to 300 cities. Just then, Zimmer's cell rings. Oh, hi, good to hear from you. It's a potential investor. A month after Fowler's post, investors know the tide of public opinion has turned even more forcefully against Uber, and they're hedging their bets. Zimmer listens and then responds.
Yes, we're actually in the process of raising a funding round right now. So how much are you interested in putting in?
Green looks expectantly at Zimmer, who meets his eyes and keeps talking.
All right. Well, we'll send you over a term sheet right away. Talk soon. Thanks. Bye.
Green smiles, and Zimmer meets his grin.
Just then, hello? Yes, we're raising right now, hoping to close in the next few weeks.
Zimmer smiles and raises his eyebrows as Green watches.
Perfect. We'll be in touch. Okay, bye. This is the most inbound interest Lyft has ever had.
Uber no longer looks like such a sure bet, and Lyft is primed to profit from Uber's pain. A few weeks later, Lyft closes a $600 million financing round. In April, Uber's hit with more bad press, this time detailing a top-secret spying program called Operation Hell. From 2014 to early 2016, Uber tracked Lyft drivers. The program focused on drivers who worked for both Uber and Lyft, and then used the information to lure drivers away from Lyft. It was another secretive tactic to try to choke off Lyft's driver supply. Bad enough on its own, but even worse as part of a seemingly endless grab bag of dirty tricks. Sunday, June 11th, 2017. Uber's seven board members are gathered at a law firm in downtown Los Angeles to discuss the findings of a four-month investigation into sexual harassment allegations. Kalanick sits quietly and looks down. Ryan Graves, Uber's first employee and current senior vice president of global operations, clears his throat.
All right, I think we all know why we're here today. Please keep the content of today's meeting to yourselves. Please. Please don't talk to the press.
To prevent leaks, each board member has had to hand over their cell phone while reading a hard copy of the report inside the office. There aren't even digital copies on the law firm's hard drives. Graves continues.
I think it's safe to say none of us are pleased with what this investigation has found.
That's an understatement. What's inside the report is shocking. More than 215 claims of sexual harassment from employees. Issues across Uber's global offices, from sexual assault to physical violence. Lawsuits have already been filed, with many more to come. Graves looks down at the paper in front of him.
You can see that Holder has laid out a list of recommendations for us.
The board members shuffle to the right page. Holder makes it clear. Kalanick needs to take a leave of absence. Kalanick had been expecting this, but he's waiting to find out whether the removal will be temporary or permanent. Board member Bill Gurley shakes his head. Gurley was once a Kalanick fan, but he's been sounding the alarm for a while now about the way Kalanick's been burning through cash.
I'm worried a leave of absence is too light. Travis, I think it's time for you to leave for good.
Another board member nods.
I agree.
The rest of the room isn't sure Kalanick needs to be kicked out permanently, but they all agree he needs to step away. Even co-founder Garrett Camp, who hasn't been actively involved for years, knows Kalanick needs to bow out. Graves pauses and looks each board member in the eye.
I think we know what we need to do.
Over at the Lyft offices, John Zimmer and Logan Green sit down to write an email together. They know Uber's stumbles give them a giant opening to remind everyone that they're the ones who treat their employees well and value customers and drivers. Zimmer starts typing as Green looks over his shoulder.
While we are proud of the values and actions that have always distinguished us, this is not a time to gloat, particularly when many of the events are rooted in personal pain for several individuals.
Green reads it over.
That's good. That's exactly the tone we want to take.
Zimmer hits send, and the message heads to the inbox of every Lyft employee. Tuesday morning, June 13th, just before 10 a.m. Pacific time, 2 days after the big Uber board meeting. Uber employees from across the world are dialing into the company's all-hands meeting. In San Francisco, employees pile into the conference room. In front of them, board members line up for a presentation. The besieged Uber co-founder and CEO is nowhere to be seen. But just as Uber board member Arianna Huffington gets on stage to speak.
Good morning, everyone.
Every Uber employee receives an email.
It's from Kalanick. Huffington doesn't know this yet, and she keeps talking.
Before we begin, I want to address the elephant in the room. You're probably wondering, where is Travis? Well, I'll start by telling you that Travis will not be around for a while.
No one is really listening to her now. They're all focused on Kalanick's email. In it, he announces that his parents have been in a terrible boating accident and his mother has died. Some had already seen the news in the press, but they can't help feeling emotional hearing it from Kalanick himself. The employees read on.
Recent events have brought home for me that people are more important than work, that I need to take some time off of the day-to-day to grieve my mother, whom I buried on Friday, to reflect, to work on myself, and to focus on building out a world-class leadership team. But if we are going to work on Uber 2.0, I also need to work on Travis 2.0 to become the leader that this company needs and that you deserve.
Huffington, still standing on stage, doesn't know that Kalanick's email has gone out. Even from another city, he's managed to upstage them all. And with that, the larger-than-life founder and CEO officially takes an indefinite leave of absence. But the board is about to decide to distance itself from Travis even more in order to save the company's reputation. They're about to launch Operation Damage Control. Less than a week later, June 21st, 2017, Zimmer is in the Lyft office, working late with Green. Zimmer looks down at his phone. It's a news alert. He starts reading aloud.
Travis Kalanick resigns as CEO.
Green looks up.
Oh my God, he's out for good?
Zimmer looks at his co-founder in shock.
Yeah, he's out for good. You think this will change anything?
I don't know.
The pair talk about everything they've been through. Then they go quiet and pack up for the day. As usual, they order Lyfts to ride home, though this time they share one. Both sit quietly in the back seat. Zimmer breaks the silence with a final thought.
Maybe this means the nice guys will finally finish first.
Uber has built an incredible business, but its foundations are rotten. If it crumbles now, everything Kalanick has worked for will be for nothing. But it was his mistakes that ran Uber into the ground. Now Uber's board of directors needs to rebuild the company from the inside out or risk the biggest corporate implosion Silicon Valley has ever seen.
You know, Audible has a brand new collection of exclusive thrillers. Every move is made more exciting by captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. I just downloaded The Grand Opening by Carl Weber. It's a mystery about a family business in a small southern town, and there are secrets around every turn. You know, when I'm listening, the time just disappears, getting completely immersed in the story and the performances. And as an Audible member, you get to keep one title a month from their entire catalog, including bestsellers and new releases. So come on, listen along. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Head on over to audible.com/BW or just text BW to 500-500. That's audible.com/BW or text BW to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
August 2017, Uber's office in San Francisco. A bald man with a cropped salt and pepper beard stands in the conference room next to Travis Kalanick. This is Dara Khosrowshahi, Uber's new CEO. He's just been appointed by the board.
For most employees, this is their first look at him. He looks somber, serious, grown up. He's a seasoned executive and the consummate professional. In other words, the opposite of Kalanick. Kalanick steps up to the mic for the all hands. Tears pour down his face.
The past 6 months have been the hardest of my life. I've made many mistakes.
He looks sorrowfully out at the employees gathered. He tries to pull it together and turns his head to Khosrow Shahi.
But this man right here is an incredible CEO. He worked at Expedia, did amazing things there. And now he's here as Uber's new CEO. I'd like to introduce Dara Khosrow Shahi.
Employees cheer Kalanick and even give him a standing ovation. Khosrow Shahi steps up to the mic and the crowd quiets down.
There are three things you need to know about me. One, I am going to be transparent and authentic with you, so I can deserve the same from you. I won't BS you, and I hope you won't BS me.
The employees shift in their seats. Khosrow Shahi keeps going.
Two, I don't like war metaphors, but I'm a fighter. I'm all in, and I'm going to fight for you with every bone in my body. Three, I will know if I've succeeded if everyone at Uber knows they can contribute to the success of Uber in their own way and as their own selves.
The crowd politely applauds. Khosrow Shahi ends by laying out a plan for the future. He continues.
This company has to change. What got us here is not what's going to get us to the next level.
Kalanick, still crying, takes a seat. His part in this is over. With that, Khosrow Shahi sets about mending Uber, starting by cleaning up its image. He creates a new motto, "We do the right thing, period." He snags a major investment from Japanese giant SoftBank, and he gets the company ready for its next step, going public. September 2018, San Francisco's trendy Soma neighborhood. Bankers from Morgan Stanley are seated around a giant conference table in Uber's headquarters. At the head of the table is Khosrow Shahi. Behind them, a presentation is projected on the screen. It reads, Uber's IPO. The lead banker from Morgan Stanley stands up and begins delivering his pitch.
We believe we can guarantee Uber the best possible share price.
Khosrow Shahi is listening closely. Uber's initial public offering is the most important moment in the company's history. All the big numbers thrown around to describe Uber's worth, the multiple billions, that's all on paper. This will make it real. The banker waits a beat for maximum effect and continues.
We expect Uber's IPO to value the company at $120 billion.
Khosrow Shahi leans in. $120 billion. That's more than double Uber's valuation from just 3 months ago. That price tag makes it worth more than General Motors, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler combined. It would also make it the most valuable startup in the world.
What makes you think that's the right figure?
The banker pauses. A $120 billion valuation would make a wonderful return on investment for all of Uber's investors, and the IPO would reward the bankers with millions of dollars in fees. He believes in this valuation, but he knows he needs to say just the right thing to convince Khosrow Shahi to go with his bank. And nothing speaks more persuasively than dollars. Billions of them.
Well, Uber has revolutionized transportation. It's changed our entire society and pioneered a whole new economy.
Khosrow Shahi smiles.
Listen, I know firsthand. I've been driving Uber at night.
The room of suits laughs. Khosrow Shahi grins.
I don't think you need the money.
You're right, I don't. I just wanted to see what it was all about.
This $120 billion valuation is the crowning achievement of the startup's life. Khosrow Shahi has had to guide Uber through public relations nightmares and replace its scandal-ridden CEO. Now, finally, he can breathe a sigh of relief. The banker looks directly at Khosrow Shahi.
Uber has changed everything. Now, let's go show Wall Street what Silicon Valley is made of.
With that, he strides towards Khosrow Shahi's chair. Khosrow Shahi stands up. Do they have a deal? Khosrow Shahi shakes his hand. Uber will soon be publicly traded. But as it tries to move into the future with self-driving cars, the pressure of answering to investors puts its business model under more scrutiny than ever before. Both Uber and Lyft will have to tighten their belts to find profitability, even as a public health crisis changes everything. In our next episode, Uber and Lyft go public, and an unexpected global pandemic upends their businesses.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is Episode 5 of Uber vs. Lyft for Business Wars. A quick note about the recreations you've been hearing. In most cases, we can't know exactly what was said. Those scenes are dramatizations, but they're based on historical research. If you'd like to learn more about Uber and Lyft, we recommend Super Pumped by Mike Isaac and The Upstarts by Brad Stone. I'm your host, David Brown. Natalie Robomed wrote this story. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Edited and produced by Emily Frost. Sound design by Kyle Randall. Our executive producers are Jenny Lauer Beckman and Marshall Louie. Created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.